you go to Vrindavan, Bhaktivinod Thakur describes that like water and oil, what happens when you put water and oil together? The oil floats, and all you can see is the oil, and you can't see the water because it's on the surface of the water. Just below is the water, but all you can see is the oil, right? Confirmed. So also, when you go to the Holy Dham, unless you have transcendental eyes, you'll see the material covering. And so it is said, you cannot enter Vrindavan just by buying a ticket. You can buy a ticket, and you can go to Vrindavan, but you can't enter just by buying a ticket. You have to go beneath the covering to see the deeper reality, the spiritual reality of Krishna's eternal pastimes. You heard the word Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. That means not only Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan and performed wonderful pastimes, but these pastimes are eternal. And there's a stage called Prakat, and there's a stage called Aprakat, manifest and unmanifest pastimes. But they're Nitya Lila, they're eternally going on. So you're going to hear some descriptions of great Vaishnavas that by their presence in Vrindavan have experienced Krishna's eternal pastimes. And they're very, very merciful. They share those pastimes with others so they can also see through the process of hearing. This is the state of Missouri, right? What's it called? Misery? No. It's called the Show Me State, right? Right, Rupa Sanata? Do you know what that means? I'll believe it when you show me. The Show Me State. So people sometimes say, they said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, can you show me God? And Prabhupada would say, do you have the eyes to see God? I can show him. So the Vedic process is before you see with these eyes, you have to see with the ears. Because when that sound vibration, transcendental sound vibration, enters Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhava Sarodukam, the sound vibration enters into the ear, it goes into the chamber of the heart, and it cleanses like autumn rain the muddy waters of the pools of water that are collected, and the mud goes to the bottom, and you can see to the very bottom of that now crystal clear water. It cleanses the heart just by sound vibration, and if you listen very carefully, you have to listen very carefully, and if you listen very carefully, you'll hear Krishna. And when you hear Krishna, there's some wonderful photographs also that showing artists' portrayals of Krishna, and try to enter into the spirit of that sound vibration. Let's see what happens. So we'll go there by sound vibration. And sound spiritual sound vibration carries you very quickly. You know how quickly? How far away is Krishna? How far away is, what's the outer layer of this universe? Prabhupada gave some number that the scientists say the diameter of the universe. And far, far beyond the diameter of the universe, there's coverings of the universe, seven layers, each 10 times greater than the other, and then the spiritual sky, and off in the spiritual sky, there's Krishna Loka. But Krishna is so kind that when you call his name, He's immediately present, just like Draupadi. She called Krishna's name, and immediately Krishna was there. Our acharyas described later Draupadi was asking, Krishna, why did you wait so long? She said, well, you were turning to Bhishma and Drona. You weren't calling for me. And then you were holding on your sari yourself. You weren't calling to me. But when you called to me, I came at once. I came. So, Krishna may be, just as Ishopanishads say, the Supreme Lord is very far away and He's very near as well. So by sound vibration, we can immediately be in Krishna's presence. So listen very carefully, and you may hear the sound of Krishna's flute. Or at least you can hear the sound of Krishna's name and see His transcendental form in these wonderful depictions. So, Radha and Shyamakund are a very special part of Govardhan Hill. And you know Govardhan Hill itself is very, very special, glorified by the gopis themselves as the best of all the devotees of Krishna. Because Govardhan Hill is supplying flat rocks for Radha and Krishna to enjoy their pastimes together, and pleasant groves, nice caves where the cowherd boys would go in the heat of the summer or the cold of the winter or whenever there was rain and get shelter, and groves of trees that produce so many different fruits and flowers. Govardhan Hill is supplying minerals and all necessities of the Vraja life. So here's Rupa Goswami, and if the sound system is working properly, we can hear Prabhupada narrate. But actually somebody else's voice narrating. So here's Rupa Goswami writing about Radhakund. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because Krishna's Rasa Leela pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill because it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of His various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Radhakund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial, nectarine prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radhakund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So here's a nice little chart that is showing this hierarchy of Vaikuntha, Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan Hill, Radhakund. And these are some from the commentaries of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where they're describing why there's this hierarchy. But Radhakund has this very, very special qualification mentioned here. And therefore, it's most dear to the followers of Lord Chaitanya. The next verse, Rupa Goswami writes, among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is most dear to Krishna. Her kund, or lake, is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radhakund and, in a spiritual body, surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, aprakata bhav, render loving service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Ashtakaliya Leela, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakund are the most fortunate people in the universe. So let's go. What are we doing here, St. Louis? Let's go to Radhakund. But it's not so easy. just buy a ticket and go there. You have to be qualified. And that's described next. Of the many objects of favored delight of the all and of all the lovable damsels of Vrajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radhakund is very rarely attained even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. But one time, it was 1974, when Prabhupada first took devotees to Radhakund. And they asked if they could bathe in Radhakund, and Prabhupada gave his permission, and they started doing what Western people do when they go into a place like that. They started splashing and swimming and horsing around. So Prabhupada said, stop. No more bathing in Radhakund. And it was like that for some period of time. And then after the devotees felt sufficiently chastened and sober, he then said, now you may bathe in Radhakund. But Radhakund should be respected as much as you respect Srimati Radharani. Not so easily attained. And so one should hold that regard for Radhakund in the same way. Here's this text 11 about serving Radhakund and statements by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Who is capable of serving? Those who are interested in advancing in devotional service in the wake of the Sakis and Manjaris, those under the protection of Lord Chaitanya. Bhakti Siddhanta writes, not ordinary devotees, not even Narada or Sanaka, so I guess we can wait a while. Only the greatly fortunate. But it's a very, very, very special sacred place, and that's where we're going to be visiting today. And here's an aerial picture of Govardhan Hill. Now, it's at an angle like this because it just fits on the screen better, but actually it runs directly north and south. You can see it's very long and narrow. And up here, in this area, we're going to get a closer look, but this is where Radhakund and Shyamakund are. And these are... Govardhan is described as being like a peacock. There's the tail of the peacock. This is Govardhan town. This is the middle part of Govardhan, and then the northern part, and this is the head of the peacock, Radhakund, Shyamakund. But like a peacock on a branch, where the legs are attached to the branch, running like this, the tail is hanging down, and the head is up here. So when you conduct Govardhan parikrama, commonly, there's a nice, as they say in India, bus a stand. I've learned that one. Right up here, and in this area. And then you go down the eastern side, going in a southerly direction. Kusum Sarovar is in this area here. You come to Govardhan town, and there's Manasi Ganga in this area. And you keep going down in the southern portion. There's a nice Nrisinga temple down here, and this is Punchari, the tip of the tail of Govardhan. Come back around, and Airavatakund and Surabhikund on this side, and your feet are hurting by the time you get to Govardhan town again, and then back, and then they come to Radhakund, Shyamakund towards the end. Commonly it's done like that. Lord Chaitanya began his parikrama right from Manasi Ganga in this area. And this populated area, that's Govardhan town. And this is Govardhan Hill. And this is a close-up of Radha Kund and Shama Kund, and we're going to begin our visit coming in this area. The first place will be right in here, and then we'll get a glimpse of Radha Kund. As you notice, Radha Kund is rectangular and Shama Kund isn't. And the reason for that is it was planned to be rectangular. Actually, we'll go back to Lord Chaitanya's time when he visited Vrindavan for the first time. You can read about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when he reached Govardhan Hill, he was in ecstasy, because Govardhan is none different than Krishna. And he was seeing a none different than Krishna aspect, Govardhan Hill. And when he reached the area of where Radha Kund and Shama Kund were to be, he asked the local Brahmins where it was, and nobody knew. And then he wandered about, being omniscient, he knew where. And he, in the middle of a rice paddy, he took his bath and declared to everyone, "This is Radha Kund, this is Shama Kund." And thereafter, everyone came to respect, "This is Radha Kund, this is Shama Kund." And years and years and years and years passed when it was just a pool of water or a pond of water in the middle of a field. But by the time the Goswamis then resided there, after some time, a very wealthy person visited Radha Kund and Shama Kund and met Raghunath Das Goswami and wanted to give him a very lavish donation for his service. And Raghunath Das Goswami was completely renounced. He had no interest in anything other than service to Krishna. So he suggested to this wealthy man, "Why don't you use all this wealth and we'll excavate Radha Kund, Shama Kund?" And so that was done. So what we see today when we visit, you can see as you look down here, there are steps from the perimeter area that going down and down and down and down and down, layers and layers of stone going down to the bottom of Radha Kund and Shama Kund. So he had a plan for making Shama Kund and Radha Kund rectangular. But while the excavation was going on, he had a dream. And in his dream appeared the five Pandavas. And the Pandavas said, "We've taken our presence here by the side of Shama Kund in the form of trees so we can observe the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Please don't cut us down." And they identified which trees they were. And so he didn't cut them down. One of those trees remains, I believe it's this one, or at least in this area. But the other trees have disappeared since. There's one, the Bhima tree, we'll see a picture of it some point in this slideshow. And for that reason, this area was not made rectangular because he left the trees standing. So the story of the appearance of Radha Kund and Shama Kund is very wonderful. And it's a place of very wonderful pastimes. It's especially noted that during the eightfold pastimes of Krishna, there's this wonderful description every morning when Krishna would get up in the morning and Mother Jasoda would prepare him to go out to the forest with the cowherd boys, and she would dress him very, very nicely and couldn't bear the separation of Krishna many times, would run up and adjust his belt and make sure he had enough samosas in his lunchbox and adjust his turban and tell Balaram, "Please stay by his side all the time because Krishna becomes very mischievous, so you should protect him, you're his elder brother," and so many things to... She was just attached to being with Krishna. She couldn't stand to being separate from him. And finally Krishna said, "I must go now, Mother." And he left. And they would play in the forest together. Herd cows. But it's described, actually they weren't herding cows, they were just playing and the cows would follow wherever Krishna went. And then at around 11 o'clock in the day, some demon would appear and Krishna would kill the demon. And then they would have lunch. And then sometimes Krishna would take rest, and while Krishna was resting, the other cowherd boys would rest, and then Krishna would go alone. Balaram would stay with the cowherd boys, and Krishna would go to Govardhan Hill in the afternoon and enjoy afternoon pastimes with the gopis on the area of Radhakund and Shyamakund. Oops. Another very beautiful painting of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in this area. So we're going to visit this place first. The bus stand is over here. And this is the first place we're going to visit before we come in. So when you do the Govardhan Parikrama, you come in this way and then go around and out. We're going to go the other way. We're going to go like this. The first temple is Radha Gokulananda. And Radha Gokulananda was worshipped by Vishwanath Chakravarti. There's his picture in the corner. This is not the original Radha Gokulananda. The original Radha Gokulananda, they're in Vrindavan town. And I believe that their picture is here also. Yeah. That's the picture of Radha Gokulananda, and here's a close-up of Gokulananda. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came to Vrindavan a number of generations after the Goswamis had been there. And you know what happens over a passage of time and generations? Yeah. Things deteriorate. So all of the glory of Vrindavan from the time of the Goswamis had gradually subsided. The prominence of Krishna consciousness or Gaudiya Vaishnavism had not completely gone, but was very much weakened over time. But when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came, he revived the teachings of the Goswamis and the vigor of the chanting of the holy name and the presence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in general. So one day, and he lived in a very remote part of Vrindavan town because he was very quiet in his way of living. One Brahmin at night had a dream, and in his dream his deity, Gokulananda was the name of the deity, appeared in his dream and said, there is one great sadhu in Vrindavan whose name is Vishwanath. I want to be worshipped by him. Go find him and give me to him because I want to be worshipped by him. So the Brahmin was amazed. His deity spoke to him in his dream. He wants to leave me. He wants to go. So Vishwanath must be a very great person. So he went to Vrindavan town and inquired everywhere. He had never met Vishwanath Chakravarti. And finally he found where he was residing. And he told them the whole story. The deity appeared in my dream and he wants to be worshipped by you. Here, please, you accept him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti declined. He said, how can I accept worship of a deity? I don't even have a proper place to stay. Where will I put the deity? And I have no means to maintain the deity worship. And besides, I'm unqualified. So I can't accept. And the Brahmin was very discouraged. So that night, Gokulananda appeared in Vishwanath's dream and said, I want to be worshipped by you. The Brahmin will come back again tomorrow and say yes. Don't say no. I want to be worshipped by you. And the same night, the Brahmin had the same dream. And in the dream, the Brahmin said, but he already said no. He said, well, he'll say yes now. Go again. And so he accepted and he worshipped this deity of Gokulananda. And he also spent some time at Radhakund, and that's this temple where he did his worship. And one of the sweet shops, as you one of the many sweet shops where you go and find very humble Vaishnavas making so many preparations, and you'll see as we go along, these preparations are for offering to the deities. There's so many deities in the vicinity of Radha Kund, and you can buy and make offerings to the deities. The next place that we're going to visit, just before coming to Radha Kund itself, is Kundeshwara Mahadev. And this Kundeshwara Mahadev is, as in many places that are Vaishnava pilgrimage places, Lord Shiva has a service to do, and that service that he does is he protects the Dham from unqualified people from entering, and he also gives his blessings and entrance into the Dham for those who are very sincere. So it's a place to stop and offer prayers to Lord Shiva for entrance into the holy Dham. And this is how they dress Kundeshwara Mahadev at night. Dressed very nicely. Something like in Vrindavan town, before you go to the place of Krishna's rasa dance, there's another Lord Shiva linga. During the day he looks ordinary, and at the night he's dressed like a gopi, because Lord Shiva, he also wanted to take part in the rasa dance of Krishna. But when he came to the rasa dance area, he was told, sorry, only persons in female forms are permitted. So he was taken to a place where he took bath, and he came out in a female form. And so at that rasa dance place, there's Lord Shiva with the serpents around his neck, but dressed in a sari in a female form. And the service that Lord Shiva was given was to guard the rasa dance place. And there's Yogamaya, who similarly allows entrance into Krishna's pastimes for those who are qualified. That's a lot better. You can hear Prabhupada sing Shamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan. So we're standing here looking at Radha Kund. Depends on when you go. If you go during Kartik, you won't see any vegetable vendors there. You'll see a sea and swarm of people, pilgrims, coming to honor and respect Radha Kund and Shamakund. And as I said, there's a very wonderful history of the appearance of Radha Kund, just like Krishna's appearance and Radharani's appearance. There's an appearance of Radha Kund, and it takes place the very same day as the Arishtasura demon was killed, one of the demons that Kamsa sent from Mathura to destroy Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, was this demon that took this huge, gigantic shape of a bull. And the bull was so big that his horns were scraping the sky, and he walked with his hooves, the ground would shake. And when he came charging down the road, the gopis, feeling very afraid, they turned to the tamal trees, because the tamal trees are blackish in color, and embraced the tamal trees, calling, Krishna, Krishna, please help. Please protect us from this dangerous demon, Arishtasura. And the cowherd boys, they weren't afraid. They knew that Krishna would take care of him. So they were just watching the fun. And Arishta, when he saw Krishna standing there, inviting him to come charge, he scraped the ground with his hooves and tilted his head and went charging directly at Krishna. Krishna very delicately jumped to the side, and Rishtasura, he got behind Rishtasura and knocked him to the ground with his foot. And then Krishna broke his horns, and with his own horns he started beating him with his horns and punching him with his fists until the demon was finished. Thus end Rishtasura. And then Krishna went to this same area where he was thinking, I've just done a very wonderful thing. The residents of Vrindavan were very afraid. The gopis were afraid. The cowherd boys were very afraid. But now the demon is gone, so he came to give the gopis the good news. Rishtasura is now finished. And the gopis stood back and said, you've killed a bull. This is very sinful. Don't come near us until you purify yourself from this sinful deed. And Krishna said, he wasn't a bull, he was a demon. He just imitated, took the shape of a bull so that no one would harm him. And he was terrorizing everybody, and now he's gone. He was expecting praise and appreciation. And they said, no. Whatever it was, you've killed a bull. And you must atone for this. Don't come near us until you've purified yourself. So Krishna said, all right. What purification would you like to see? What does the scripture say? They said, you'll have to purify yourself by taking bath in all the sacred waters of the whole universe. Such a sinful act. So Krishna said, very well. And he took his right heel, and we can't do this, but Krishna can. I'll do it with my left heel. He made a strong stamp with his left foot and made a big depression in the ground. And then he called for all the celestial waters to come and fill the big depression that he made in the ground, because he's a powerful foot. And they personified came, folded their palms, and said, some service. What service would you like? They said, can you fill this depression here, and then I can bathe in your celestial waters. So they transformed their bodies into liquid form, and Krishna took bath in Shyamakund. And that's how Shyamakund began. And then Krishna turned to the gopis and said, actually, now that I've purified myself, I don't think I can associate with you. Because it's not I who have done something sinful, but you have done something sinful, because when you accuse someone wrongly of a misdeed, then that's also sinful. And so, to purify yourselves, you have to bathe in all the sacred waters of the universe, offending a devotee. And so Radharani said, very well. And she took her bangle and started making a motion like this with her bangle. And the other gopis, she has thousands and thousands of other assistants, so very quickly they took their bangles and started digging. And Krishna said, oh, this, you've done a wonderful job digging a big depression here, but what are you going to use to fill the depression, to take your sacred bath? If you like, I can make a little canal in between your kund and my kund, and then you can take your bath. And Radharani said, no, you've deposited all your sinful reactions over there. That's not going into my kund. So the gopis all got clay pots and made a chain, filling the water from Manasi Ganga and taking the water, handing to the next gopi, and another line going back with the empty pots, and gradually filled up the whole of Radha Kund and took their sacred bath in Radha Kund, depositing there their love for Krishna in a liquid form. And in this way, Radha Kund and Shyamakund made their a transcendental appearance. As you see right here, in fact, there is a canal opening between the two kuns, and water does freely flow between the two. This is a shrine. There's some pictures we'll see more closely later, where Radha and Krishna would sit together and enjoy pastimes at Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. So this is a very, very special transcendental place of Krishna's pastimes. This is a photograph during the rainy season where not only there's a canal, but the water is so full you can't distinguish between one and the other. And in this way, here's Rupa Goswami's statement. Where is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? There is more close-up picture at sunset. And the devotees just, they have such love for Radha and Krishna and Radha Kund and Shyama Kund that even in this condition, they're taking their sacred bath and both kuns at once. And this place here, this is the sitting place of Radha and Krishna. That's what it's marking, where they would enjoy their pastimes together. This is a painting by Vishnudas depicting what Radha Kund and Shyama Kund might have looked like during Krishna's manifest presence, with the beautiful moonshine shining over Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, and the trees bearing various flowers and fragrances, and the peacocks, and just a wonderful transcendental setting for loving exchanges, Radha Krishna Leela. This is another photograph of Radha Kund. This is that wall that separates the two. And over here, from this corner going over in this direction, this is the Gopinath temple. You'll see it from another direction. And right here, this is the sitting place of Mother Janava. Now, moving around, we were just in this area. Now, this is Radha and Krishna's swing. Now it's being used as a cement structure. Previously, it was a very, very large banyan tree. Maybe 30 years or so ago, it died. But it was said that it was the same tree from the time of Radha and Krishna. And during the proper season, like we have in our temples, Julam Yatra, Swing Festival, and is commemorating this season when Radha and Krishna would be seated on the throne. And the gopis would be decorating Radha and Krishna and the throne, just like as devotees we do, and Julam Yatra decorate the throne and the swing and swing their lordships. In fact, the pastime is so nice. There are many very beautiful depictions. Notice here, there's a little bridge crossing this Radha Kund. And the bridge is in the painting because when Janava was the consort of Lord Nityananda. After Lord Nityananda left, she wanted very much to see the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And so she went to Vrindavan. And one of the first places she went was Radha Kund. And when she sat near Radha Kund, she chanted japa. And she had this vision of Gopinath. And so she told the devotees, this is where Gopinath resides. You should make a temple for him right here. And they made a seating place for her just overlooking Radha Kund. And she chanted her japa there. And she came back and said, did you see? There's this wonderful bridge crossing over Radha Kund. And Radha and Krishna are enjoying their pastimes on this bridge. And any time I've been to Radha Kund, I've never seen a bridge. Maybe never you have also seen a bridge. But Janava could see. Not only see the bridge, but see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna being performed there. In this way, very advanced Vaishnavas, because of their spiritual capacity and their love for Krishna, Krishna discloses his identity and his wonderful form and his pastimes. Swing pastime is very popular. So, next we're going to go to this location. Oops. And here's the entrance to the temple and that location. And there's some of the sweets in front of the altar of the deity of Radha and Krishna. And this temple is one of the oldest temples and one of the oldest deities around Radhakundariya, because when Raghunath Das Goswami was engaged in excavating, or he had men working to dig the foundation for the Radhakund, as they were digging down and down, they found a deity, and they brought the deity to Raghunath Das Goswami, immediately paid obeisances and indicated that this was a deity from very, very old times. And he personally worshipped the deity of Radha and Krishna. There they are. And they are, when it comes to the swing festival, they're given the swing of honor. They're the first deities of all the deities in the Radhakundariya to be placed on the swing for the swing festival. And then other deities are placed, and so on. So very merciful deities and very special deities, personal deities of Raghunath Das. Here is the next place we're going to go. It's off the beaten path of Radhakund. And down this side road, you'll find this temple, which is a temple of Radha Kunja Bihari. Those of you who have been to Mayapur, or if you come with us to the Yatra in Mayapur this coming Kartik, you'll see the deity of Radha Kunja Bihari, very, very, very beautiful deity, personally named by Bhaktisiddhanta, and he similarly worshipped Radha Kunja Bihari here in Radhakund. There's a nice warm woolen outfit. You can guess it's winter time in Vrindavan. And here's a close-up of the deities. Very, very beautiful deities. And nicely cared for. And worshipped by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this is another very special place, although it looks pretty ordinary. This is Malyahari Kund, a place off the path where a wonderful pastime of Krishna that was performed and disclosed by Raghunath Das Goswami. We don't commonly know about Raghunath Das Goswami as an author of books, but he did write a few, and this is one of them. And I'm going to narrate the pastime connected with this place. See, it's not commercialized and made externally attractive, but Raghunath Das was such an advanced devotee that he fully realized this pastime revealed to him by Krishna and described it. So, the pastime begins in Dwaraka, where Satyabhama is asking Krishna, "I heard that when you lived in Vrindavan, you grew pearls from a pearl tree. Is that true?" Krishna smiled and said, "Yes, I grew pearls from a pearl tree." She said, "Could you describe how you grew pearls from a pearl tree?" Krishna said, "Yes, I'll describe." So he describes to Satyabhama that when living in Vrindavan, I had so much love for all of Nanda Maharaja's cows that I thought not just I should give them the best of grasses and the freshest of fresh water, I should decorate them very nicely. So I got inspired and I thought, let me make nice necklaces of pearls for all of Krishna's cows. So I went to the gopis because I knew that they had pearls, and I asked, "My dear friends, my dear gopis, could you kindly give me some pearls I'd at least like to decorate out of all of Nanda Maharaj's 900,000 cows, my two favorite cows. And I'm trying to remember what the second one's name is. But I know that one of them's name is Harini. I forget what the other one's name is. And Radharani was seated and not paying much attention to what Krishna's saying. So Lalita came forward and said, "I'm sorry, but your cows are too good for our pearls. So you'll have to find some other place to get your pearls." With her hands on her hips, letting Krishna have it. So Krishna was discouraged. And he went back home. And he spoke to Mother Jasoda and said, "I want to decorate Nanda Maharaj's cows. And I want to get some pearls to decorate Nanda Maharaj's cows. I have an idea. I want to make a pearl garden." And Mother Jasoda said, "You can't make a pearl garden. Pearls don't come from gardens." And Krishna said, "No, I've seen. Nanda Maharaj, he goes to the field and he makes holes in the ground and puts little things in the holes in the ground and covers them up and puts some water on and all kinds of things come out of the ground. Mother Jasoda, can I have some pearls to make a pearl garden?" And Mother Jasoda has so much love for Krishna, she said, "Yes, I'll give you some pearls and you can try to make a pearl garden." So Krishna took the pearls and he went to the back area behind their house and started to make his pearl garden. He went to Malyaharikund to make his pearl garden. And he started watering the pearls. And sure enough, little shoots started to come out of the ground. So he went to the gopis and said, "Come see my pearl garden. Come see. The pearl garden is starting to grow." And the gopis just laughed and laughed and said, "Pearls don't come from the ground." And Krishna said, yes, come see. So they came to look at Krishna's pearl garden, Malyaharikund, and they laughed and said, "That's not pearl trees. That's thorn trees." And Krishna said, no, you'll see. So they just laughed and went away. And very quickly, those little shoots turned into trees. And the trees started producing so many big pearls. And they were very special pearls. And Krishna was taking the pearls and he made necklaces for all of Nanda Maharaj's cows. And there were so many pearls that he then made necklaces for all the peacocks of Vrindavan. And he still had more pearls, so he made necklaces for all the monkeys of Vrindavan. And the gopis, they weren't going to be upped by Krishna, so they decided, "We're going to make a better garden of pearls than Krishna's." So they took their own necklaces. But they didn't have enough pearls, so they went to the storerooms of their parents and without asking, they took some pearls and planted the pearls. And sure enough, little shoots came from the ground. And they told Krishna, "Come see our pearl garden." And he looked at the pearl garden and said, "Those aren't pearl trees. Those are thorn trees." They said, no, these are pearl trees. You'll see. And they said, "We're not even just giving water. We're giving yogurt and milk to our pearl trees, so they'll be better than yours." And sure enough, when those shoots grew up, they were thorn trees. And the gopis were in big anxiety because they couldn't even put back the pearls, what to speak of, on their necks from their parents. So they had a little gopi conference, what to do. And they decided to send their two best negotiators to go to Krishna and appeal to Krishna. This is one of the cows wearing his necklaces and earrings and decorations of pearls. And when they brought, they came with little boxes of gold, and that's pictured here, and they were bargaining with Krishna for some pearls. And Krishna looked at their boxes of gold ornaments and said, look at these pearls, look how big they are. And not only they're big, but they're fragrant smell. Oh, they're so nice. Well, you couldn't give all of the boxes of gold ornaments for one of these pearls. There's a big part of the story is that the bargaining pastimes back and forth. Finally, the gopis just became the two negotiators. They became very sad and said, Radharani is going to be very unhappy with us. So Krishna said, all right, I'll give you a pearl. And he reached in the many, many pearls we have, and he gave him a broken pearl. You can give this to Srimati Radharani. So they went back and told Radharani the unfortunate news. And they were saying, you know, what can we do? We've offended Krishna, and he's the only person we can get pearls from now, and we've made a big mistake. So Krishna started considering. The gopis are in big anxiety. Especially Srimati Radharani, she's feeling responsible for all those pearls that were taken from their parents' homes, and they're going to be in big trouble. So I'll make a pearl necklace for Srimati Radharani. So he started making a pearl necklace for Srimati Radharani. And he was so happy with the pearl necklace that he made a golden box and put Radharani's name on the top of the box. And he thought, the gopis that are dear friends of Radharani, she loves them so much, let me make one for them too. So he made special necklaces for all the gopis with their names on top, and special necklaces for all the gopis. Here's one of the monkeys with his necklace of pearls. And Krishna came with Balaram and the other cowherd boys, and they made gifts to Srimati Radharani and all the gopis. And Radharani was so happy, and the gopis were so happy, they decided they should do something to reciprocate with Krishna's kindness. And so they planned to have a big feast in honor of this kindness that was offered to Krishna. Here's Krishna offering a necklace of pearls to Srimati Radharani by the side of Radhakund. And they had a big feast, and all the gopis were coming and attending Srimati Radharani and Krishna while they were enjoying together the Malya Harikund Leela, or the pearl pastime. So this took place by the side of Radhakund. And if you can remember what that unimpressive looking place Malya Harikund looked like, who would imagine that such a pastime as this took place there? But not only it took place, but Raghunath Das Goswami realized it. Imagine what his japa was like. It's described in Bhakti Ratnakar. When the service was given by Lord Chaitanya to the six Goswamis to establish or reestablish where the places of Krishna's pastimes took place, this was their method. They would read the scriptures, they would go to, according to the indication of the scripture, where they thought that place was, and they would simply sit and chant the holy names of the Lord, and the pastimes would be revealed in their hearts. And then it was confirmed where the place was, and they described those pastimes in those writings. It's discussed also in Sri Brahma Samhita that there are two different categories of Krishna's pastimes, or the Lord's pastimes. There are scheduled incarnations where the Lord appears, and then there's another kind where in ecstatic jubilation, it's called Sarasaki, the Lord appears suddenly within the heart and performs his pastimes for the happiness and pleasure of the devotee. And this is one of those pastimes that Raghunath Das described. It's not imagination or creative writing. It's his transcendental realization and experience, just like Janava saw the bridge going across Radhakund and Radha and Krishna enjoying their pastimes together. So, I guess I can go a little bit more. Because this isn't really the kind of thing that has questions at the end. This is another place where a murti of Lord Shiva is situated on the banks of Radhakund. And now this is where we are. Madhyahari Kund is down this way, and we're coming back to this spot here. And then going along in this direction. And in that corner area, there's the temple of Radhakanta of Vrakreshwara Pandit, right there, as you see. And this is a painting that's on the wall of that Radhakanta temple. Vrakreshwara Pandit, as an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was very fond of dancing. Not only fond of dancing, but he could dance jubilantly, ecstatically for 48 hours nonstop. Sometimes we have kirtans and, you know, it gets very lively and we can dance for some time. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes even half hour. Sometimes it gets really rocking and goes on for some time, but 48 hours? Lord Chaitanya saw his dancing and ecstatic, because it wasn't worldly, it was otherworldly. Lord Chaitanya would sing, and he would dance, and the other kirtan singers would sing, and he would dance, and Lord Chaitanya said, Vrakreshwara Pandit, you were like a wing, and if I had two of such wings, I could fly in the sky. So he's a very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, and was absorbed similarly in the mood of the gopis, as was Lord Chaitanya. This is a close-up of that painting. Very beautiful, huh? Directly onto the wall of the Radhakanta temple, there's the deity of Radhakanta. There's winter season of Vrakreshwara Pandit Murti. It's in a little indented place in the wall, and there's the summer outfit. A close-up of the deities. Radhakanta and Lalita by Krishna's side and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lalita... Whoops. Okay. I am not remembering right now, but Vrakreshwara Pandit in Krishna Lila had some very intimate service to Lalita Devi, and that's why Lalita is by the side of Radhakanta. Look at this, he's got two flutes. Right across the street from the Radhakanta temple is a Gopal temple, and there's the deity of Gopal, and as you see, there's a murti of Srila Prabhupada, and the reason for that is the Gopal temple was established, it's one of three temples established by the king of Manipur. And this one is the recent king of Manipur. He wanted to have a temple. He had a dream in which his Gopal deity said, I want to be worshipped at Radhakund. Please make an arrangement for me. So he was a king, he could do things like that. So he took the assistance of Bhaktisrup Damodar Maharaj, as you see his picture down here. And the disciples of Bhaktisrup Damodar Maharaj are to this day continuing the worship of Gopal. And there's another very unique part of this temple. The deity, as they were constructing the temple, the deity said in a dream, second dream to the king, that please make the arrangements so that as the sun is rising at Radhakund, that sun will come directly and shine upon me so people can see me without even external light. And so that's exactly what happens. You go during Kartik season and you go before the deity. You can see the sun is directly shining upon the deity. This is in the backyard, the courtyard in the back. This is the samadhi of Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj. He was born in Manipur and educated in America. He became a PhD in chemistry. While he was in his PhD program, he met Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave him a lot of mercy. And through Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj, the Bhaktivedanta Institute, along with many other PhDs, was established. And the purpose of the Bhaktivedanta Institute was, and is to this day funded by, to some degree at least, funded by the BBT, to interface with the academic community, specifically the science portion of the academic community, and in their own language, on their terms, and in their way of looking at the world, help to establish the conclusion of the Vedic wisdom, the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, the existence of the soul, etc., to the scientists. That's a nice challenge. So any of you that have a PhD in science field and you'd like to do that service, you can contact the Bhaktivedanta